Okay, we're holding on Erevin Daf Memvav. We're at the towards the top of Memvav Amud Aleph. We're basically just trying to resolve a dilemma. We mentioned that the halacha was in accordance with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori Shita, but also he had the Mekel Shita and the halacha, and Erevin is always after the Mekel Shita. So we were wondering what the necessity was to say both. And the way that we left off, was by saying that in this particular case where you have Yachid against Rabim, you wouldn't assume that you had to follow that rule. Because it's only if it's one person against one person or multiple against multiple that you follow the rule of the lenient. But if the one person's lenient and the multiple people are stringent, then you don't follow that rule. And that's why it was necessary to teach the halachas of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, even though it should have been obvious that the halachas like the Mekel Shita and Erevin. But now we're going to question that whole premise that if it was Yachid v'Rabim, now we're going to question the whole premise that if it's an individual against many, in a normal circumstance, if it was a machloket derabanan, we would follow the many. We're going to question that assumption, because maybe if it's just derabanan, we don't care that it's yachid against rabim. How do you know that makes any kind of a difference? If it's derabanan, the halacha is like the mekel shita, perhaps. Amarle Rav Abaye Michdi Eruvin Derabanan Mali Yachid Makom Yachid Mali Yachid Makom Rabim. So Rav said Abaye, is that really true? Erevin is rabbinic law. So what does it matter to me if it's an individual against an individual, or an individual against Rabim? We should always pass in the kula. Amarle Rav Papa Le Rava Uderabanan Lo Shanilan Ben Yachid Makom Yachid Li Yachid Makom Rabim. What are you saying that on a Derabanan we make no distinction of it, whether it's an individual against an individual, an individual against the rabbim? Sure we do. Vatnan, we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Elazar, Omer Kol Isha She Avru Aleh Shlosha Onot Dayashata, right, that any woman who had passed three periods without actually menstruating, the moment she does get her period, then we assume that anything is tameh from that point on. See, in a normal instance, we have this debate as to whether or not when a woman gets her period, we assume that anything that she touches from that point on is tameh, or maybe we have to go back 24 hours and assume that she may have started earlier, and anything that she touched in the last 24 hours should also be regarded as tameh. So, in this case, where she hasn't gotten it for three periods, then we assume that that it's mikan ve'elach, right? That from that point on it becomes tameh. But we don't assume that works retroactively. V'tanya, and we learned in a brayta, masiv asak Rabbi k'Rabbi Elazar, right? That once Rabbi followed Rabbi Elazar's shita, that the food she touched was not tameh. Right, as opposed to the Rabbanan Shita, who says that no, actually you have to rewind 24 hours and assume that anything that she touched beforehand in the last day was also tameh. Lachar shenizkar, after Rebbe remembered something, Amar kedai hu Rebbe Elazar lesmoch alav b'sharet chak. He said, you know what, I really shouldn't have passed like Rebbe Elazar. I really should have assumed that anything in the last 24 hours that she touched was tameh, but I can rely on Rebbe Elazar's shita b'sharet chak. My lachar shenizkar. Now, what do we mean? What did he remember? What was after he remembered? If it's because you remember that, you know, the halacha is really like, it's not like Rabbi Elazar, it's actually like Rabbanan. Well, if the halacha is not like Rabbi Elazar, how did he rely on Rabbi Elazar's shita b'shadat chak? It wasn't like him at all. He should have followed the Rabbanans. Ella de lo itmar hilchta lo k'Rabbi Elazar v'lo k'Rabbanan. Rather, he wasn't saying that halacha is like one or the other. Lechar shenizkar de lav yachid palig alei el rabim pligi alei. Rather, what Rabbi remembered is that it's not an individual who was arguing on Rabbi Elazar. Rather, it was rabim. It was many rabbanim who were arguing on Rabbi Elazar. Amar kedai Rabbi Elazar v'smoch alav b'sharet chak. So what he said was, okay, I should have really paskened like the rabim in that circumstance, but because they were the rabim, but I can still rely on Rabbi Elazar's shita because now the halacha isn't like him. I'm just supposed to follow the rabim. But this question of retroactive tuma is a question of tuma dirabanan, right? It's tuma dirabanan, and you want to advance the argument that there's no difference between yachid and rabim when it comes to dirabanan. We're always mekel. Then why did Rebbe assume that he is supposed to be more machmir and follow the shita of the rabanan against Rabbi Elazar, at least milachatchila, if there's supposed to be no difference between yachid and rabim and dirabanan? So there's a good proof that we still do differentiate, even by matters of dirabanan, between yachid and rabim. Amar Rav Mesharshia le Rava, ve Amri le Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak le Rava, U'vidarabanan lo shani ben yachid b'makom yachid ben yachid makom rabim. So another challenge. Do we not make any distinction between yachid makom yachid and yachid makom rabim when it comes to derabanan? V'atana didn't we learn a brayta? Shmua krova noheget shiva shloshim. So didn't we teach that if you have a that if you heard that someone passed away recently and you're chayv and shloshim, you heard someone that passed away recently, then you have to do the normal shiva, the week process of velut that that we have, and the normal month process of velut that we have, because you heard they recently died. Rechoka einu noheget ela yom echad. But if you heard they didn't die recently, but you're chayv, you'd be chayv in shiva in the velut process. But they didn't die recently, then from the time you hear it, you only have to keep it for one day. What's considered recent, what's considered not recent? Within 30 days is recent, not within 30 days is not recent. According to the Chachamim, whether you hear it recently or not recently, after the person died, you have to keep the proper Shiva and Shloshim requirements. And that's the Chamashit against Rabbi Kiva. Amar Rabbi Bachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Makom Shata Motzi Yachid Mekel Rabbi Machmirin, Halacha Kedivrei Machmirin, Hamerubin, Chut Mizo. And so Rabbi Bachana said, wherever you have a case, wherever you see a case of a Yachid who is Mekel and Rabin who is Machmir, you always have to follow the Rabin who is Machmir, except for this case. Shafa Bisha Rabbi Akiva Mekel Chami Machmirin Halacha Kedivrei Rabbi Akiva. Right? So in this case, even though Rabbi Akiva is Mekel and the Rabbin are Machmir, the Halacha still like Rabbi Akiva, but Savarla Kishmuel. The Amar Shmuel Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel be Avel. So he himself, Rabbi Yochanan, holds like Shmuel Shita that the halacha always follows the Mekel Shita when it comes to Avel. Now we're going to deduce the proof. So it sounds like Davka, when it comes to Avelut, is when we're Mekel, regardless of if it's an individual against the Rabbim. However, in a case outside of Avelut, in general, we take into consideration whether it's an individual against an individual or an individual against the Rabbim, where we're going to be Machmir if the Rabbim are Machmir. And it's only this particular case that we single out as an exception that we're not going to be Machmir. So either way, we have two proofs that we do distinguish between a machloket between two individuals, or machloket between an individual and a collection of people. Even in matters of derabanan, we don't automatically assume that we're going to be mekel. In which case, the necessity to say that that the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nori, even though he was the more mekel shita, is necessary because on a derabanan, you don't just assume that the halacha follows like an individual when there's a chance that he's arguing against a group of people, and we wouldn't follow his shita even on a derabanan, even when you assume it would be mekel, regardless. But we're returning back to our original question, which was, what's the necessity to say both the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and if we already know that the halacha is like the mekel shita? Okay, so we just offered an answer, we tried challenging that answer, but it turns out that answer really held up, but we have more options for answers. Right, so another potential for an answer is that maybe we only would have assumed that the halacha is lakula when it comes to eruvin, when it comes to eruve chatzerot. However, eruve tchumin, meaning eruv chatzerot, is the partnership existing between multiple chatzerot. Eruv tchumin is uniting a larger area together that you can carry now within. And so you may have assumed that we were only mekel with an erev chatzero, but not an erev tchumin, and that's why I need to teach you the halacha like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, because I may not have followed that principle automatically. That's why it was necessary. But wait a second, how do you know in the first place that there's a difference between erev chatzero and erev tchumin? Maybe if the leniency exists by erev chatzero, I should just assume it exists by erev tchumin. No, you shouldn't assume that. It's not. We learned in Mishnah Rabbi Yehuda made the remembering be erev tchumin, but by erev chatzero ma'arvin ben ladad ben shelo badad shezachin ladam shelo b'fanav vein chavin ladam shelo b'fanav vein chavin ladam ela b'fanav. Meaning we're talking about establishing eruvin when all the participants, when one or more of the participants were not aware that you were establishing that eruv, on his behalf. And what we say is by an Erev Chatzerot, it works even if he doesn't know. But by an Erev Tchumen, it doesn't work. It only works if he knows. So that clearly is an additional restriction, additional Chumra that exists by Erev Tchumen. So I see that there's a precedent for treating Erev Chatzerot and Erev Tchumen differently. And more particularly, I see that you can treat Erev Tchumen more stringently. In which case, just because I have a rule of paskening more leniently when it comes to Eruvin, I may assume that's only Erev Chatzerot, but I have a precedent to be more machmir when it comes to Erev Tchumen. That's why I need to teach both. Rav Ashi Amar, it's so Ravashi says, well, I have a different reason why you needed to teach both. Because you had a Havamina that this rule that we said about the Halacha is like the lenient opinion when it comes to Eruvin may only be the remnants of the Eruv, but not the original enactment of the Eruv. So there's a difference between how an Eruv works when you're originally setting up and how an Eruv works when you're dealing with whatever is left of that Eruv after it, you know, may have been eaten or after time went on. So we relate to the different the Eruv, we relate to the establishment of the Eruv differently than what we consider to be a minimum still functioning Eruv that was established properly in the beginning. Okay, well, you want to suggest there's a difference between those two things, and maybe when we taught the principle, we were only talking about Shiurei Eruv, where we're generally more Mekil, but establishing an Eruv L'chachila, we wouldn't have been so Mekil. But how do you know to differentiate between the original establishment of the Eruv and the remnants of the Eruv? That when we taught that the minimum quantity of food necessary for an Eruv, we only taught that when it comes to the establishment of the Eruv Milchadchila. However, when it comes to the remnants of the Eruv, as long as just as a minute amount still left, then that's perfectly fine. But here we have a precedent by the Shiurim, by what amount of food that constitutes an Eruv, to be more machmir when it comes to establishing an Eruv initially than what remains of that Eruv. And since there's more since we're more machmir by Eruv L'chadchila than in Shiurei Eruv, so there I have a precedence to assume that maybe we'd be more machmir in that principle that we said that we're always making when it comes to Eruvin. It's not talking about Eruvin L'chadchila. By the continuation of that bright, it just says that that this minimum amount that's required by Erev Tchumin when it comes to Erev Chatzerot is even less. It's nothing at all. But we just required a minimal amount just so people don't forget the basic requirements of Erevin altogether. Okay, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zreika, Amru, Halacha, Kerabi Akiva, Mechaveru, Kerabi Yossi, Mechaverav, Kerabi Mechaveru. Now that we're teaching principles of who we of when we paskin like whom and what the general rules are, we have the following couple rules. So, when it comes to Rabbi Akiva arguing on a single colleague of his, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. If it's Rabbi Yossi arguing on multiple colleagues of his, we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. And Rabbi, on a single colleague, we paskin like Rabbi. Lamai Hilchta, what are you teaching me this rule for? What does this rule actually do for me? Rabbi Asi, Amar Halacha, Rabbi Chia, Baraba, Amar Matin, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yechanina, Amar Nirin. So according to Rabbi Asi, this is halacha. I mean, these are the rules. You always follow these rules. We always establish halacha in accordance with those principles. According to we lean toward that. Meaning, if we're not sure, they both have solid svaras, we can't disprove them, whatever it is, you know, we give a little bit of credence to that policy and we tilt towards Rabbi Akiva over his chaver. It's not an objective rule. It's not to say that we can never paskin like his chaver if he has a more logical svara, but if we don't know, then that's how we rule. And then Rabbi Yossi Rechenina says, no, it just this looks like the rule. Meaning, this happens to always be the case. We're not saying this is a general rule, you have to follow this, but you look through their arguments. We tend to always paskin like Rabbi Akiva when it's a machlok and a yechid. Not because that's a rule like that, but it just always is a better svara. So if you look back, it's almost like it looks like there's a rule that you have to, but it's not the case. So in that exact lashon, Rabbi Yaakov Aridi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Right. So along similar lines, if Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda have a machloket, so the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. And if Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi have a machloket, then the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. And so Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, halacha Rabbi Yossi. Hashem makom Rabbi Yehuda leita, makom Rabbi Yossi mibaya. And it's obvious that if Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Meir are having a machloket, then you pass on like Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Meir would lose to Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda would lose to Rabbi Yossi. So obviously Rabbi Meir loses to Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rav Asi, af ani lomer Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon halacha Rabbi Yossi. By the way, I hold that if you have a machloket between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yossi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Abba said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. That if there's a machloka between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, then Alach is like Rabbi Yehuda. Hashem makom Rabbi Yehuda, Leitav makom Rabbi Yosef, Yubaya. Now if Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon machloka we pass like Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yehuda has a machloka Rabbi Yosef, we pass like Rabbi Yosef, then obviously Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yosef have a machloka we pass like Rabbi Yosef. Yubaya lehu, Rabbi Shimon, my. Okay, but what if we have a machloka between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon? Two people who lose out to Rabbi Yehuda, but we don't know about them and each other, take it. We don't know if we have a machloka Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon, who we pass like. Amar Rabbi Joshua, Linu Lalai Klali. Rabbi Joshua says these are not absolute principles. These are not absolute klalim. You can't apply these to whatever machloka you're having and assume that you know the answer. How does Rabbi Shashia know that these are not absolute principles that we have to follow? And this is going to take us well into the next amud, so let's stop in the middle of it. Ilema mehadatan, if you want to say it's from the following, Mishnah Rabbi Shimon Omer, Lamahadavar Dome, Lashalosh Chatzera, Daptuchot Zola Zo, Ptuchot Lush the Rabbim. So we spoke of this earlier, three Chatzera that are open to one another and open to the Shudrabim, Ervushtai Machitsonor Imaim Tzaid, Himuterat Imahen, Vehen Muterat Ima, Vishtai Machitsonor, the Surah Zoim Zo. Right, that if they make Erevun with each other, the middle is mutter to both the sides, but the sides are not mutter to each other. Amar Rucham Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Alach Rabbi Shimon. And Rucham Bar Guria says, in the name of Rav, the Alacha follows like Rabbi Shimon in this case. Uman Paligale. Now, who is the Bar Plugda for Rabbi Shimon in such case? Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon in this case. But Ha Amar is Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. But didn't you just teach me that Alacha always follows like Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Shimon? Rather, we can infer from here that these rules are not absolute, and we can pass on like Rabbi Shimon when he argues on Rabbi Yehuda. You don't have to follow the rule that we always pass on like Rabbi Yehuda. Umay kushya, but how is that a good proof at all? Dilma hecha de itmar itmar hecha de lo itmar lo itmar. Meaning that's a case where the Gemara itself resolves the machloket. We're talking about I'm learning the Gemara. I'm learning the shaklat of the Gemara, and we want to figure out who the halacha is like. Right, so if the Gemara tells you explicitly the halacha is like, then that's how we paskin. But if the Gemara doesn't tell you the halacha is like, that's when we use these rules. So tell me a case where the halacha, where the Gemara explicitly spells out who the halacha is like. That's not a disproof to the rule. Maybe that's just not what the Gemara was talking about. Let me had if not. Rather, maybe you can learn it from the following Mishnah. If you have a private city that became public and open to everyone, you had a private city, it became public to everyone, you're allowed to make an Eruv around the entirety of the city. But if you had a public city that became private, in you're not allowed to make an Eruv around the entire thing unless with the following stipulation. Unless you have an adjacent city similar to the Iru Chadasha in Yehuda that has 50 occupants, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you don't need 50 occupants, you just need 3 courtyards of 2 houses inside of them. Amar Rabbi Chama Bar Guria, Amar Rav, Alach Rabbi Shimon. The Alach is like Rabbi Shimon there, even though we generally teach that the Alach of Rabbi Shimon and Yehuda follows like Rabbi Yehuda. Uman Paligale, Rabbi Yehuda, the Hamad Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. Now, even though Rabbi Yehuda is Bar Plukta, we don't paskin like him, but you taught me that the general rule was that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda of Rabbi Shimon. Umay Kushya, Dilmacha, Nami Hechata Idmar, Idmar, Hechata Loidmar, Loidmar. That's not a difficulty, because here too, the Gemara explicitly says that we paskin like Rabbi Shimon there. So in a case that the Gemara says explicitly, we paskin like who the Gemara says. But if we don't know, if the Gemara doesn't say, that's when we paskin according to the rules. Okay, el mehadatnan. But rather, I'll give you another example. Hamaniach beito v'alach lishvod be'ir acheret achad nocher v'echad Yisrael osir levnei chatzero. Right. So when you establish an eruv chatzero, right, a partnership amongst the different courtyards to all share in one large courtyard, everyone needs to be in on it. So if one person disagrees, then you don't have an Erev Chatzero. But what if a person doesn't say and it just leaves his home? Well, whether he's a Jew or a non-Jew, the other Bnei Chatzer, the other members of the Chatzer, are not allowed to use the area because you don't have his permission. Rabbi Huda Omer, in Oser. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's not Oser. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Nochri Oser, Yisrael, in Oser. Rabbi Yossi says, well, there's a difference actually between a non-Jew and a Jew, and a non-Jew would make it Aser, right? Because he could come back in the middle and protest. But Yisrael does not make it Aser because the Yisrael, if he's gone for Shabbat, he's gone for good. Because the Yisrael is not going to return on Shabbat. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu Iniach et Beito Valach Lishbot, Etelbito, Ba'oto Ha'ir, Eno Oser, Shikwari Siach Dato. And Rabbi Shimon says, well, even if he's in the same city, he's just, by his relative, he's already distracted himself from the Eruv, he's already taken his mind off the Eruv, so we no longer need his consent. Rabbi Shimon is like Rabbi Shimon in this case, even though that doesn't follow the Roman Polygale, Rabbi Yehuda. Right, Rabbi Yehuda argues with Rabbi Shimon in the case. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Alach Rabbi Yehuda. And you told me that if there's a machlok between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, the lacha follows like Rabbi Yehuda. And yet here we're talking passing like Rabbi Shimon. Umay kusha, dima hechad itmar itmar hechad lo itmar lo itmar. Same answer that maybe when it's explicitly stated in the Gemara that that's how we passkin, and that's how we passkin. However, if it's not explicitly stated, that's when we rely on the rules. Okay, we're going to stop here, but we're basically going to continue the same topic in next daf.